If you have your Bibles, open them up to Jeremiah 29. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the earth. We thank you for all those children that so freely opened their heart up for you. We've seen it in some of our meetings in the past. And Father, we know that your goodness is great and you're reaching many. And may many more come in Jesus' name. And today, Father, as we embark on the word that you have given me for your people, I pray that they receive it and run with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, remember, next weekend, Max will be here, and you won't want to miss him. He's quite a character. Praise God. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I love this. I love this verse because when you get down in life, you can take this verse and yell at the devil with it. He hates scripture coming out of your mouth that came out of God's. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Praise God. I'll never forget when I was kind of down on myself. Anybody get down on yourself? I got news for you. If you get down on yourself, it's coming from your outer man and not your inner man. It would be nice if he would take the position that God had declared your inner man, but somehow he doesn't seem to want to do that because he's living in a realm that is not heavenly. You have to bring him into the heavenly realm. And so feeling down, I got into this complaint situation, and finally there was just something in me that rose up. And I think it was a spirit on the inside of me rose up and said, Heavenly Father, I know the thoughts that you think towards me. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me a good future and a good hope. I just yelled that at the devil. I know my Heavenly Father's thoughts towards me. You getting this? How many of you ever gotten down in the mully grubs? This is one way of getting out of it. Open your mouth and start saying what God said about you. That's the best way to go. That's the best way to approach it. Proverbs 4:5 says, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 5:7 says, do not depart from the words of my mouth. And Proverbs 7:24 says, pay attention to the words of my mouth. And I just wanted to let the devil know that I'm paying attention to the words that came out of my Heavenly Father's mouth. And if his thoughts towards me are good and not of evil, hallelujah, then that's what I need to say. Praise God. That's what I need to utter out of my mouth. You give me a future and a hope. And I got news for you. The world is in a hopeless situation. But thank God we're in the world and we're not in a hopeless situation. We do have a future and we do have a hope. Hallelujah. And the devil needs to let the devil know that. He doesn't somehow have a revelation of that. Well, how do you know he doesn't have a revelation of it? Look at the way the world's going. He comes to steal, kill, rob, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly, praise God. So this is when we need to open our mouths up. This word, do not depart, or do not turn away from the words of my mouth, is turn aside. Don't turn aside. The devil would love to have you turn aside. A Proverbs 5:7 says, do not depart from. Actually, that in the Hebrew means turn off your hearing. I got news for you. When the devil starts talking to you, that's when you need to turn on the hearing of God's word. You need to start listening to that. I mean, all you have to do is turn on TV and good Lord, you need the Bible after that. Praise God. Need to start hearing and not depart from the hearing of your word. And then the last one is pay attention. This is a very interesting word. It means to perk up the ears like an alert animal. Some of you that have been hunters for a while, like myself, I don't have too many animals to show for it. Because those animals alert their ears. Have you ever watched a deer? They put those ears forward because they live by their senses. They're highly sensitive. And that's what that means. Perk up your ears. Be very, very attentive to what God says. And I'm sharing that with you today. And one thing that I want you to get a hold of here is a word of God's thoughts toward you. Now, you know when he said this? This was a letter that was written by a prophet that was given to the nation of Israel that was in captivity for 70 years. And now, I know that our translators, most of them were Calvinist, they established the Old Testament mostly based on Calvinism, but really, the Old Testament is in the causative form. God had no choice because he was dealing with your outward man. But I'm going to tell you something, people. God's speaking to us one way today in a son. In a son. That's what it says. And he talked many ways in different parts in the Old Testament, but he speaks to us today in a son one way. And he speaks to us as spiritual people. For the natural man to benefit from it. In the Old Testament, he had to speak to the natural man to benefit for the kingdom of God. But today he speaks to us spiritually what he has made us. When he called me by my name, then I knew right then and there I was not only saved, but I knew that my God's thoughts towards me were thoughts of good and not evil. You see, the world doesn't know how to think right because they don't know God. If they knew God, then God would get right into their face and tell them, you need to think differently about yourself. We got believers that are in fellowship with God and sitting in church, and they don't know that God thinks good thoughts towards them and not of evil. You know, when I first started going to church, thank God that God led me into the right kind of thinking, not the wrong kind of thinking. I never believed I was an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner saved by grace, but he didn't leave me in the old sinner thinking. He changes the way you should think about yourself. Reminds me of a story I heard many years ago, and when I heard it, it so blessed me. Because when God said here in Jeremiah 29:11, my thoughts towards you are good, not of evil. I want to let you know that as you're coming out of captivity and you're headed for your future, I want you to know that you've got to start thinking in your thinking that I am a good God, that I think good thoughts towards you and not of evil. Right. Now, my understanding of the causative sense, our translator said God put him there. God did not put him there. They put themselves there. They kept backsliding on God and kept not listening to his ways and got trapped in their own situation. But this story I heard was really, really fascinating. How many of you ever been to a fair? How many of you ever seen those mirrors that are all twisted? And you look at them and and makes you look really weird. Some of us, we're laughing, but some of us think about ourselves that way, and God doesn't think about you that way. You don't belong, first of all, you don't belong to a circus. There was two men in a hospital. One was in the hospital bed towards the door, and the other one was in the hospital bed next to a window. And the one that was next to the door asked the patient in the bed next to the window, he says, can you look out that window and tell me what you see? And the guy next to the window says, okay. And he looked out the window and he says, well, I see a real bright, shiny day, and the sky is blue and beautiful, and I see a pond, and I see children playing in the pond and having a little boat that they made, and they're pushing it out into the water, and I see some of the people sitting on a bench feeding the ducks, and the guy says, well, tell me more. What more do you see? And I see a boy and a girlfriend walking hand in hand, and they're kind of in love and kissing. And so he paints this gorgeous picture. And the guy says, the guy next to the door says, so it's beautiful. And he says, it's beautiful. I'm so glad I got this bed so I can sit and look out this window and share with you what I'm seeing. And the guy said, yeah, I'd love to get over there and see, but I can't move. They got me in this bed here. And he says, that's all right. And then one night, during the night, he started hearing a gurgling sound. And the guy next to the window was dying. He noticed that he couldn't get to his buzzer. And so he was going to buzz the guy, the nurses, to come and help him. And he decided, no, wait a minute. If he passes away, I'd get his bed. Yeah, I'll just ignore it. And the guy died. And they removed him. And the guy said to the nurses, hey, can I have his bed next to the window now that he's gone? And the nurse said, well, there's no problem with that. Sure, we can accommodate you. And so they set him over into the bed and got him all hooked up. And he couldn't hardly wait for everybody to leave so he could look out the window. Finally, they all left and he got up and he looked out the window. And he was staring a cement black wall. He'd have been better off to stay in the other bed. But that's what God wants to do. We can all stare at a black cement wall and that can't produce anything in us. Can't do anything for us. But if we start seeing what God thinks about us and what he expects of us and the future that we have and the hope that we have ahead of us, man, that changes a whole scenario altogether. Don't you agree? So we need to know what God thinks of us because God loves us so much. Now, apparently, some of you don't get a revelation that when you have given your heart to the Lord and he called you by name, he called me by name. I was in a sign shop, cutting out letters, same shop John worked in. And I heard my name, Jan. I looked up, nobody was there. I heard it as physical, right, with my natural ears. And I knew it was God. I knew it was God. They called me by name. But at that time, I didn't know that his thoughts towards me were thoughts of good and not evil. But I want to tell you something. When he called me by my name and he's speaking to me one way, did you know in the Old Testament, David was a type of New Testament believer? Did you guys know that? David was a type of New Testament believer. Matter of fact, David's tabernacle, when it was set up, it really astounded the priests. They hated him for what they did to the Ark of the Covenant. They brought it into the city, and you know what David said? Set it up in the tent in the midst of everybody so that everybody could dance and worship and praise the Lord before the Ark. That was unheard of. That Ark should have been put in the Holy of Holies behind the veil. And David wanted it out in the open. And he danced before the Lord in his loincloth, which exposed him, but the wife got upset about that. Anyway, and that's all I know about her. But David, the Bible says, was a man after his own heart. And David gave us a psalm that he had learned about God. And of course, our translators, this is what they titled it, God's Perfect Knowledge of Man. And that is not what this psalm is about. This psalm is about God's complete commitment to mankind. Now, when you've come into the kingdom of God, I want you to realize that in the New Testament, there's a couple of New Testament scriptures that people quote, but they don't get a revelation of what they mean. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 real quick like. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And go to verse 3. But if anyone loves God, who loves God? Amen. If anyone loves God, that he knows, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. You know what that means? If you love God, you've accepted Jesus, guess what? You're known by him. Hello? You're known by him. You're known by the God of the universe. Now, if you're known by the God of the universe, does he know something about you? Well, let's go to another place. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And let's go to verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So God knows something about you. He knows everything about you. Simply because you received him. When you receive him, he knows everything about you. And the good thought is, devil, I don't give a rip what you think or what you say to me. I want to let you know that God knows me, knows all about me. But all I got is his word, and his word said, I know the thoughts that he has towards me. They are thoughts of good and not evil. And the churches, the early church, I'd say 30, 40 years ago, taught everybody that God had a problem with his people.
Well, that's not what you really find in the New Testament. God doesn't have a problem with his people. God has a problem with you paying attention to him. Because he made you something that you seem to think you're not. And you are. Amen. Somebody need to hear this. Galatians 4:9. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it then that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? How do you do that? Simply because you choose to look at life differently. And I got news for you. You know your old life? Your old life? When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, as far as your old life is concerned, God says, now look to a new life. Amen. Just like the children of Israel coming out of captivity, he says, here, I'm writing you a letter and letting you know. And in that letter, he also said to them, now look to a future and a hope. Look to, if you read on after that, after Jeremiah 29:11, he says that you have children and that you have a hope for the future, and I'll bless your ground and I'll bless your hands and I'll bless you all over. But stay in contact with me. Stay. Don't leave yourself to yourself. Turn to me. Can you think of any other time that would be good to turn to God? Somebody said that they found a homeless woman out here. Was it Jerry? You found a homeless woman? And Jerry, of course, he has to bring up the kingdom of God to her. And she knew it. If I remember right, she knew what it meant to be a Christian and everything. Why is she living on the street? Because somebody never told her that God wanted to bless her. He had good thoughts for her, not of evil. God didn't intend for her to live in a tent. Well, here's what David found out about God. Now, I got news for you. This word in 1 Corinthians 8:3, 1 Corinthians 13:12, and Galatians 4:9, it means literally, I have become fully acquainted with. I have come to know and recognize and understand you. I understand you completely. That's what God's saying. I understand you completely. Now, with that thought in mind, go to Matthew 7. This has baffled many brothers and sisters, and when I shared with them, but because I understood the original text in which this was written, it shocked them. But it says, not everyone, verse 21, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Yeah. Now, what they said is, many of them asked me this question. What is he referring to there? He never knew him. Well, if he said he never had a relationship or never knew him, he would have used the word oida for knowledge. But he used the word gnosko here, and gnosko literally is referring to the same thing that you find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 12 and Galatians, there, meaning, I have come to know you in an improving fellowship, an improving fellowship. Through the relationship that we had. He never declared that they never had a relationship. He had a relationship with them, but he was saying, I never had an approved fellowship with you. Right. In other words, it was a one-way conversation. Yeah. But you know why they were failing? Because they were failing with other people. They were looking at other people's chip in their eye and couldn't see the log in their own. Right. I got news for you. When you fail with people, it's because you're failing with God. When you are successful in thinking with God, you'll be successful in thinking with people. Yeah. I know a lot of people have their own opinion of Joel Osteen, but I love listening to him occasionally. I don't know about you guys. But last night I sat and listened to a message that just thrilled me. He talked about going after the prodigal that left church. Look at the seat next to you. If it's empty, where are they at now? Go after the prodigal. Best message I ever heard. I'll tell you what, people knock him. They say, why did he end up in New York and I guess some homosexual place there and they were having, and they were found there. And I asked God, I said, why are they, and just negative, negative, negative. And asked God, well, how should I think about that? And he says, Joel Osteen went where the sick are. Same thing they did to Jesus. Why is Jesus hanging around sinners? Well, Jesus said, I don't go to the ones that are well, I go to the ones that need help. Well, and you know, in a ministry on that scale, you're not going to sit there and criticize him because he ain't telling everybody how to speak in tongues and draw the revelation of knowledge out of God. That's stupid. He delivers a message that everybody would benefit by. Are you following me? And we need to know how to reach people. And we reach people with the love of God. We don't reach people with the severity of God. How are we going to tell how things are going to end up if we don't see them from the love of God rather than the judgment of God? Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. People, yeah, listen, natural people, I'm going to tell you, natural people need help. Yeah. If we're the salt of the earth, let us speak into their life. People need to know what God thinks about them. You know, those people living on the street in the tents, they need to know what God thinks about them. They think, he thinks good thoughts toward them. Oh, y'all listening to me real well here. Well, the difference between gnosko and oida literally demands consideration because these words imply the type of fellowship that you're having. This same word here that you find here in this verse where it says, I never knew you, is the word gnosko. It is not the word oida because the word oida means I never had a relationship with you or a fellowship with you. No, he did. They were casting out devils. They were prophesying. They were doing things. But the problem was they didn't know how to inherit the kingdom of heaven. No, the kingdom of the heavens. God in the third heaven affecting the second heaven, which affects the first heaven. Because in the Greek, those words for the kingdom of heaven is all in plural form. The three realms that God's present day ministry works in. Psalms 139. Beautiful psalm. This is the psalm that says God has complete commitment to his man that he knows. And here's how David wrote it. Oh God, you have searched me and known me. This word means you have penetrated and examined me fully. You have known my setting down. You know what that's referring to? My downside. And you understand my rising up, my good side. You understand my thoughts afar off. Well, what in the world does he mean by that? He means you understand what I'm going to think before I do. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You comprehend my path. You know the direction I'm going to go in, even when I make the wrong direction. That's the line. And I'm acquainted with all my ways. In other words, the ways I'm going to go. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You know what I'll say before I do. And every aspect of it. But you've hedged me behind and before. That means you've put a constructive and protective barrier about me. And laid your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And I got news for you today, people. If you receive God, his hand is upon you. Amen. whether you know it or not. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Well, from the natural, yes. But from what God says you are, there's where you have to go back and trust in His Word. And He says, you're worthy of His kingdom. It is high, I cannot attain to it. No, not without Him. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? He's everywhere in your life. If I descend into heaven, you are there. If I'm in fellowship with you. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. You're out of fellowship with Him. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, in other words, even if I try to get away from you, even there your hand shall lead me. You're still willing to lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. Oh, what a beautiful statement. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, and how many of us can say we've been depressed and darkness is all around it? But I got news for you. Even the night shall be should be light about me. As far as God's concerned, no matter how depressed, no matter how dark your life is, God is there to be your light. Glory to God. That's why I love this psalm. Because it's God's commitment towards us, every one of us. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to you. It don't matter what you see. God's still light. For you form my inward parts. I love verse 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. I'm going to tell you, when you vote for the platform that wants to murder babies, there's something sick in that. Because your life is valuable. A soul is valuable. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. And when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being unformed. And in your book were all written the days fashioned for me when I was yet there was none of them. And I got news for you. I don't care how many came and died. And either went one way or the other. I got news for you. Every single person that is born into this world, their names are automatically written in the book of life, and you don't want the right to have it blotted out. And when God saw everyone born, He put their names in the book of life, waiting for them to remove it, not Him. I don't care what your translators say. God is not in the business of X-ing somebody's name out. Humanity, that's their right. God gave them their right to do that. And yet we got to go and tell them what a good God we serve. And don't erase your name from the book of life, because that's where all judgment will end. You don't want your name not found there. But I'll tell you what, if their name is not found there, it wasn't because it was there. Because God put it in there. And He put a future for them. And a hope for them. And not of evil, but of good. Why? Because His Son paid for it. His Son paid for it. You didn't pay for it. His Son paid for it and gave it to you. Now look at verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Listen, people, you can say that to yourself. If I should count them, they would be more in number than sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You know what he's saying? This is very personable. Seeing how mindful He is of us. It's like a dream. But in reality, it's true. It's like a dream, but in reality, it's true. You're sitting here, people, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm sharing with you, it might be a dream to you, but in reality, it's truth. Now, this one I love. Oh, that he would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemy. Why did he say that? Because he knew God's thoughts towards them, and they rejected it. How many of you are grieved with those who choose not to go to the Lord? Now, here's his secret. The key to the success of his life with God. Are you ready? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. This word anxieties is very interesting, a disquieting thought, where I'm troubled all the time. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me, guide me in the way everlasting, to live a way without end. Amen. So when God entered into your life, when you gave him as your personal Savior, people, I got news for you. You inherited his thinking. You inherited what he thinks about. I love my Lord. I don't know about you, but I know my Lord. And I know my Lord what he thinks about you. And if he should think any less, it's because you've rejected him. Stand up, everybody. My sitting down, my weaknesses that stopped me, my rising up, my strengths that moved me. You understand the way I would choose my direction. Thoughts are far off, the choices I'll make before I do. You comprehend, you scrutinize the direction I would take. My lying down, the path I would not take. Acquainted with how I will act in a certain way for usefulness or loss. And God is still committed to you. You know what? You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like God loves us. It sounds like God loves humanity. David didn't write that psalm for the all-knowing of God. He wrote that song for the all-knowing of you. And how he's committed to you. God's committed to you. You might not be committed to him. He's committed to you. But in the end, you're going to wish you'd have gotten committed to him. Somebody asked me, when are you going to retire? I can't. It's my vocation. Well, if I'm going to be a preacher, now I'm going to make sure that all of you know what God's all about. Because that's what I'm called to tell you to do. You know why a lot of you aren't getting your healing? Because you think differently about the promises of God. You don't want to take his commandment. His authoritative prescription. I'm going to tell you, Christians that don't want to believe in the faith of God, there's something wrong with their thinking. God wants you to have faith in his work, his promises, and take his commandments. The problem is all of us will sit there and argue about even the message of faith because their thinking's not right. You know why you get healed? Because God provided it for you. You didn't have to work for it or earn it. The only reason you didn't get it is because you thought differently about it. We got to change the way we think. We got to change the way we think. I want you to say it with me. I'm going to change the way I think about myself. I want to think like God thinks towards me. Well, I hope you got something. Amen. Help me.
you know. You're precious in the sight of God, yes. Sweetheart.
Thank you, Lord.
And God told me to tell you that. That's why He uses yes. you. Hallelujah. This morning, we're not going to hold an altar because I think this service touched every heart here today.
Yeah.
So I want us to bow our heads and I want us to talk to God right where you're standing. And I want us to thank Him, even though you have not thought correctly about yourself. Whatever it is you've been going through, wherever you don't have confidence in what's ahead, God told me there's a lady here and you are to realize that God has got His hand on you and you have a fear of what's on you. And God told me to tell you, you quit fearing. And trust in my love for you. It will work itself out. So let's bow our head just in a moment of silence and let God speak what we need to hear from Him. He knows about us and He wants you to hear something He wants to let you know about that will help you, that will give you a hope, will give you a future, that will remove evil thinking. So take a moment, just a moment. Stand there in the presence of God and listen to Him. Yes, Lord. Well, he spoke to me. It didn't take long. Whatever He spoke to you, deal with it. Hallelujah. Good or bad, deal with it. Let Him deal with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. Again, if anybody here does not really know the Lord as their Savior, please step up here.